Want to take a moment of personal privilege and thank Zoe and Willie and Mark and Doug and Mitchell and Pam and Rory and everybody else who is frankly knocking it out of the park today. I am really delighted to be here. I also want to share with you that when I was in divinity school, first beginning to study to become a minister, I had this recurring nightmare that I would get up and preach, and my Old Testament professor, who was a man named Michael Fishbane, would be sitting there sort of shaking his head disapprovingly of my various interpretive moves that I was making through my, of course, Professor Fishbane was not going to be coming to Hyde Park Union Church to watch me preach. That was a nightmare that eventually passed. But I want to just thank Dr. McClellan, our country's most popular biblical scholar, for being a part of this literal waking nightmare. If you would join me in a moment of prayer. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Humanity was building a city. And I mean all of humanity, every single living person on the face of the earth, they were building a city. It was going to be a great city that would have room for everyone. And in the center of the city, there would be an enormous tower with its top touching the heavens. And with this city built, no one would be scattered. No one would be alone. Everyone, every person would have a place, their own place. Humanity would make a name for themselves by this city, by this one place. They were doing this because all of humanity was united. And they were rightly afraid of what would happen if they were to be scattered. This is the story of the Tower of Babel. It's a why story. It's a why are things the way that they are story. It's, if you want to get very fancy about it, it is called an etiology, but there's no need for anybody to be intimidated. If you have spent almost any time at all with young kids, then you know what an etiology is, because at a certain point, kids get into the whys. They get into the whys. Why is the sun yellow? Why, if the sun is yellow, then why are the clouds pink at sunset? And the thing about the whys is that the whys, it is a trap. The whys are a trap. Every time that you answer one of those questions with a rational explanation, it just leads to more questions, more instances of why. Why does the sun set at all? Why is it my bedtime, even though the sun is still up at a certain point? It's best to stop with rational explanations and just tell a story. I have a story for you. It's called The Boy Who Wouldn't Go to Bed. I like to gender swap the protagonists when I'm threatening my child with a fable. People speak many languages and live all over the place. Why? Well, it's because people built a city with a giant tower in the middle of it, so God made everybody speak different languages and they scattered across the world. As an etiology, it's a classic. It's a classic. It's got all of the classic features of these things. It has the hubris of humanity. It has a dramatic reversal. It has an explanation of how things are. As an etiology, it's a classic. I get it. I love it. But as a story from the Bible, I don't like this at all. God sees this tower with its top of the heavens and says, look, they are one people, and they all have one language. This is only the beginning of what they will do. Nothing that they propose to do now will be impossible for them. God here seems worried. Like worried about God's own self. Like maybe if the humans are just cut loose to do whatever they wish and they aren't held back, then somehow they're going to threaten God? Threaten God with what? I don't like this at all. I want God to be worried for me, not worried about me. I don't like this at all. And here's another thing. God says, let us go down and confuse their language there. Did you catch that? Let us go down. Let us. Who's us? Who are you talking to? God? The story is weird. Presenting God as being threatened by humanity and also having this kind of an entourage, it makes me want to try to explain all of that away, to try to find some kind of way of reading this story that fixes all of that, that makes God sort of how I like God to be, caring about me and off in untouchable heaven. But if I do this, if I try and corral God into my own little box here and look at this story through that one way, then I can actually miss the point. Because this isn't a story about God at all. This is a story about human nature. It's a why story, and it's trying to get at what human beings are like. God had looked at all the people working together with common purpose, building something that would be for all, and what God did was to make it so that they spoke different languages. That's all. That's all that God actually does, is to make them speak different languages. The people could have decided to keep working together anyway. Sure, it would have been hard, but remember, they were about to build a city large enough to house every single human being and a tower so tall that it stretched up into the heavens. But learning a new language is just out of the question. They had built this city specifically in order not to be scattered across the earth. But now that they were different from one another, now that being together was hard, now they were going to go ahead and do that to themselves. They were going to go ahead and scatter themselves across the earth. This was their worst fear. And they do it to themselves rather than be together in the face of difference. They give up on building the city. That's the hard part of the story. Not that God is so unrecognizable, but that humanity is so very, very recognizable. This is a why story. It's a why are things the way they are story. It's an etiology. Why do people speak so many languages? Yes, it's about that. And this is about why are people so divided? Those are not the same thing, being different and being divided. Those aren't the same thing. Why are nations at each other's throats? Why does conflict boil into conflict? Why do borders sprout walls and bristle them with armies? Why do ICE agents in face masks throw students into unmarked vans? Why are children in Gaza killed? Why are elders in Boulder set on fire? Why are trans kids national news for existing? Why? In the story of the Tower of Babel, God made people different from one another. Humanity took that difference and turned it into division. The city that was to hold a place for all, a city where nothing that humanity proposed to do would be impossible for them. They left off building it because humanity could not abide difference. This is a sad story, and a true story in its way. When the day of Pentecost had come, the disciples were all together in one place, and into that space the Holy Spirit came, blowing like a wild breath of wind. They did not know where it was coming from or where it was going. It was all fire and clamor and chaos and joyful shouts and praises of the deeds of God's power. The disciples, they began speaking in other languages, languages they didn't know. These men were from Galilee. They weren't linguists or diplomats. They spoke Aramaic and maybe a little Hebrew that they learned from going to temple. But the sound of this clamor was so great that a crowd formed. And these were people from all over the place. Parthians and Medes and Elamites. These were people from Mesopotamia and Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia and Phrygia, Egypt, Libya, Crete, Arabia. These people were not the same as each other. They didn't speak the same language. They didn't owe allegiance to the same king. They didn't even worship the same God. They weren't all Jews. Some were Romans. They were proselytes who were there just to see what this God of Israel was all about. They were not the same. Yet they could understand and be together, and this was bewildering. Each heard the disciples speaking in their own native language, speaking about God's deeds of power. The story of Pentecost is, it's almost like the opposite of the story of the Tower of Babel. Almost. What God does is actually a little better than just flip the story of Tower of Babel, though. Because the disciples, they don't just start speaking whatever mother tongue had been in that pre-Tower of Babel Ur language that everybody shared. A reversal of the Tower of Babel would have just been a return to sameness. This is actually better than that. Diversity remained. Division was gone. Difference remained. Hierarchy was gone. The diversity of humankind was still there. It was the fires of division that were extinguished by a puff of divine breath. 5,000 people were baptized that day. It's the birth of the church. The church didn't exist before that. There had been followers of Jesus, true, but the church didn't exist. The church was born when God's deeds of power could be testified to in all the languages of the world, in the heart language of any who needed to know of God's deeds of power. That is when the church came to be. The good news of Jesus Christ, this could cross borders, no more encumbered by walls, no more encumbered by walls than the clouds in the sky can be stopped by a wall. With division gone, with hierarchy gone, but with diversity yet in spades, nothing that they proposed to do would be impossible for them. The work of the Holy Spirit, this is still the same today. The Holy Spirit is still a wild breath of wind. I don't know where it's coming from or where it's going. The Holy Spirit is all fire and clamor and chaos and joyful shouts and praises for the deeds of power that God has done. Spoken from unexpected quarters by someone I barely know, and yet their words ring true. The work of the Holy Spirit is the same: to break up division, to break down hierarchy. A people led by the Spirit, a people filled by the Spirit. Well, they should be building a city that would have room for everyone, a place to make a name for yourself, where no one would be scattered, no one would be alone, would have their own place. A people filled with the Holy Spirit, that is a place where a trans young person, a trans kid, might first share their name. Might first share their name because they've been taught the stories of the faith. Because they know that Abraham and Paul and Peter and Sarah, these are not birth names. To be called a new name upon walking in truth, called by God into that walk. This is holy work. This is the story of our faith. A Spirit-led people could be building a city where immigrants aren't afraid to drop their kids off at school or worship at church or get a degree or speak out in courage or write an op-ed. To make a place that had room for all. That would be just the beginning of what they could do. A people filled with the Holy Spirit from every land and culture. Difference, not division. Multiplicity, not hierarchy. A people set on fire by that very Spirit of God. For such a people. For such a people. nothing, nothing that they proposed to do would be impossible for them. Thanks be to God for the gift of the Holy Spirit.